This is Father Suavik speaking. I would like to share with you a short reflection, around 15 minutes, on God's mercy and forgiveness. It is our way of returning to the theme of our summer retreat, which was, as you remember, the Sacrament of Reconciliation. By returning, we try to be grateful for what we received during that summer retreat, and we try to grow deeper into the mysteries that we lived and heard about and contemplated during our summer retreat. God bless you all. The opening prayer of the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time says, Father, you show your almighty power in your mercy and forgiveness. Continue to fill us with your gifts of love. Help us to hurry toward the eternal life you promised and to come to share in the joys of your kingdom. This prayer speaks of the almighty power of God as revealed in mercy and forgiveness. Usually, we associate the power of God with such impressive acts as creation of the universe, parting of the Red Sea, sending of the manna, perhaps multiplication of the bread, or recovery of sight by the blind. These are the quintessential examples of the almighty power of God. The Almighty enters our physical world and does something out of the ordinary. The laws of nature are suspended. Everyone can see the revelation of the almighty power of God. Now, the opening prayer of the 26th Sunday of the year speaks of the almighty power of God in a different way. It says that the power of God is revealed in the actions that are, at least at first glance, not as visible and not as impressive as the breaking of the laws of nature. It says that God's power is revealed in the actions that hardly make the headlines, that is, in God's mercy and forgiveness. And that is not an easy concept to grasp. We would rather think that it takes more power on the part of God to make the lame walk or the blind see than to forgive and show mercy. In the Old Testament, the hurricane and the earthquake were often used as symbols of the almighty power of God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 18, we read, Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. Whoever has felt the earthquake or experienced the hurricane knows how it makes us feel small in front of those great power of nature, and yet they are just a feeble reflection of the almighty power of God. The opening prayer that we just heard says that we enter the hurricane and the earthquake, that is, we experience the real power of God in His mercy and forgiveness. Are we really convinced that we are entering the earthquake and hurricane when we receive God's mercy and forgiveness? Do we really stand in awe before the revelation of God's power in His mercy and forgiveness? In the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus seems to understand our problem. He performs a visible miracle, just to prove that a more powerful miracle has taken place, namely that of mercy and forgiveness. We read in chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, "There people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Courage, child, your sins are forgiven.' At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, 'Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he then said to the paralytic, 'Rise, pick up your stretcher and go home.' He rose and went home." Now it takes some extraordinary powers to make the crippled man walk. But this is just to show that a more important power is at work, a power to forgive sins. On Easter Vigil, the Church's liturgy turns to God with the following words: "O God, you who wonderfully created man and more wondrously redeemed him." You who wonderfully created man and more wondrously redeemed him. The liturgy again teaches us that to create something out of nothing is wonderful, but to create something good out of something broken, that is to redeem, is even more wonderful. We all, I'm sure, have felt more than once amazement at the beauty of this world. But have we felt amazement at the beauty of God's forgiveness, which is more wondrous than the wonders of nature? What exactly happens in forgiveness? How is it that we are forgiven? It is not that the debt of our sins is simply cancelled, as we often say. It is not a nothing out of something kind of process, a reversal of creation, as it were, in which God takes our debt and erases it. The debt is not erased. It is fully paid, but not by us. The one who pays the debt is Christ. St. Paul uses some very strong words to describe it. He says in the 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God." Let me repeat it. God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us. Sin is ugly. Now the Son of Man takes this ugliness upon himself. Isaiah, in the famous song of the servant of Yahweh, speaks of the one who takes the ugliness of sin upon himself. He says, "As many people were aghast at him, he was so inhumanly disfigured that he no longer looked like a man. So many nations will be astonished, and kings will stay tight-lipped before him, seeing what had never been told them, learning what they had not heard before. Who has given credence to what we have heard, and who has seen it, and who has seen in it a revelation of Yahweh's arm? Like a sapling, he grew up before him, like a root in arid ground. He had no form or charm to attract us, no beauty to win our hearts. He was despised, the lowest of men, a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, one from whom, as it were, we averted our gaze, despised, for whom we had no regard. Yet ours were the sufferings he was bearing, ours the sorrows he was carrying. While we thought of him as someone being punished and struck with affliction by God, whereas he was being wounded for our rebellions, crushed because of our guilt. The punishment reconciling us fell on him, and we have been healed by his bruises. We had all gone astray like sheep, each taking his own way, and Yahweh brought the acts of rebellion of all of us to bear on him. Isaiah 52:14, 53:6. Christ takes our sin, the sin of the entire world, upon himself. His death is not just a result of sin in the sense that some sinful people crucified him out of jealousy or anger. His death is rather a result of sin in the sense that the entire sin of the entire world is taken up by the Son of God, who, in the words of St. Paul, is made to be sin for us. On the cross, Christ forgives. It happens as an awe-inspiring exchange. We give him our sins. He offers us his divine life. The fathers of the Church spoke of admirabilis commercium, a wonderful exchange, by which God became human so that we might become divine. This exchange culminates on the cross. In this exchange, what can we give to him if not what is truly ours, that is, our sins? Jesus takes the ugliness of our sins truly upon himself. He gives us his beauty, the dignity of the sons and daughters of God. The words of Jesus to Faustina come to mind. Daughter, give me your misery. It is your exclusive property. That's from Faustina's diary, paragraph 1318. And then in paragraph 1485, we see another saying of Jesus. He says to Faustina, your misery has disappeared in the depths of my mercy. Do not argue with me about your wretchedness. You will give me pleasure if you hand over to me all your troubles and griefs. I shall heap upon you the treasures of my grace. Admirabilis commercium, a wonderful exchange, as the fathers of the Church used to say. God forgives, as the opening prayer reminded us, in a powerful way. He not only creates something out of nothing, which would be a wonderful thing in and of itself, he does something more. He creates a friend out of an enemy, a king out of a beggar. Even more, in forgiveness, he brings us closer to him than before the fall. He forges a more intimate bond than before we broke away from him in the first place. Sometimes as we forgive, we do it just to feel free from the past or to show to others that we are morally superior to them. God does not forgive in this way. He does not belittle, he elevates. He makes us his sons and daughters. If anyone is made small, it is rather God who lowers himself, taking the form of a slave, as the letter to the Philippians says in chapter 2, verse 7. The most powerful act of God, then, is the one in which he renounces his power, that is, lowers himself, takes upon himself the ugliness of our sins, and clothes us with his own dignity, the dignity of the beloved Son, of the Father, in whom the Father is well pleased. At the end of this reflection, let us turn to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and its teaching on the justification. Justification is a technical term by which we describe the effects of Christ's death and resurrection on our lives. To put it simply, justification means that God not only forgives but also transforms our inner being. He sanctifies us. Justification is then something more than just forgiveness, and yet forgiveness is at the heart of justification. So what the Catechism has to say about justification is very much true about forgiveness. And this is what the Catechism says in paragraph 1994. Justification is the most excellent work of God's love, made manifest in Christ Jesus and granted by the Holy Spirit. It is the opinion of St. Augustine, continues the Catechism, that the justification of the wicked is a greater work than the creation of heaven and earth, because heaven and earth will pass away, but the salvation and justification of the elect will not pass away. He holds also that the justification of sinners surpasses the creation of the angels in justice, and that it bears witness to a greater mercy. That's Catechism on Justification of the miracle, amazing miracle of God's forgiveness. So we started off by saying that the almighty power of God is revealed in His mercy and forgiveness. We have to admit that there is something incredible, something astonishing in the way God forgives. There is something that goes beyond the way we forgive, beyond even our imagination. There is something divine. Our words will never be able to exhaust it. Those who faithfully bring to God their sins and miseries know that it can only come from God as a revelation of His almighty power, that the ugliness of our sin is transformed into an overwhelming fact of being cherished and loved by our Father.